it's a little bit overwhelming because I have to try to concentrate a much longer discussion into a short period of time. And I hope Hashem will help. This is connected to what we were talking about last week, or connected is not really, but just continuation, although it can be understood separately. We were talking about the Chazon HaKala last week, Kutshevichon Knesset Yisrael, Hashem and the Jewish people. Now we have to discuss the hemshech of that relationship, the continuation of the relationship between the Chazon HaKala, between Kutshevichon and Knesset Yisrael. This discussion is based to a large extent upon a maimer that was written by the grandson of the Tzemach Tzedek, Reb Shmaya Noach is a sefer Shem Lamor that's very difficult to get, and I was able to see it someplace, and I sat and gobbled up whatever I could before it was taken from me. So I thought it's a mitzvah to try to give over to the chevra over here, one of the mamarim of that extraordinary man. It's very long and laced with a lot of Kabbalah, so to try to simplify and to understand, it's not so pashut. Isha ki sazria, the elder zachar. The parasha begins with birth. And the parasha tells us that somehow if the woman on some level is the more active participant in the conception of the child, which I can't explain that looking at Rashi, and it's not something that's comfortable to talk about for Rabin. Rashi says, Chazal say, Ish mazriya tchila, yolad is nekeva, Chazal say. That if the Ish is mazriya tchila, that if the man is the first to complete the act that leads towards conception, then Chazal say, Ish mazriya tchila, yolad is nekeva, then the child will be a girl. But Ish mazras tchila, if it begins with the woman, then you let the zachar, then the child will be a boy. This is a pella. This is a wondrous thing. To try to understand an almadrega, obviously, Chazal are referring to something much deeper. And it's not an issue of something that's tested in the laboratory, discussed in medical journals. And we have to understand what this means. That Ish mazri etchili yoledes nekeva, Ish mazras tchili yolad zach. So it wasn't so long ago, Pesach, and we sang the shir. Oz Yosher Moshe Bnei Yisrael Zashir HaZayis. The Jewish people sang shir. They sang the song to Hashem, Shir HaZayis. And Chazal point out that there are some shiris, there are some songs that are sung as shiras, shira, in the Nekeva, the feminine. And there are others that are written as a shir, Mzach, the masculine. And what's the chilik? Kol hashir is shenemru ba'ilam loshen Nekeva's hashir hazayis. So Chazal give a number of examples, that in general, all of the songs where we praise Hashem, all the songs of praise we have for Hashem during history are in the feminine, in the Nekeva form. Avla Osad Lava, that's why Shira Hazayis, the song Shira Hazayis in the feminine. Avla Osad Lava, however, when Mashiach comes in the future, yes, Shira Loshen Zach, then the song is going to be the song in the male, in the masculine. Shenemar, as it says, Shiru Lashem Shir Chadash. Sing to Hashem the new song, and that's referring to the song that's going to be at the end of time. Shir Hashem Shir Chadash, V'loi Shir Chadash K'may Shomim Hayom. Nowadays we say Shir Chadash. When we speak about leaving Egypt, we say Shir Chadash in the feminine. But L'Asad Lavo, when Mashiach comes, we're going to sing a Shir Chadash, the masculine. what is the difference between Shira Chadasha and Shir Chadash? What is the difference between the song that has that feminine quality? And so we were talking about this last week, that's why we continued it. And the song that has the masculine quality. Shira Chadash is of this world. And Shir Chadash is going to be when Mashiach comes. The new song, the ultimate song of redemption, the final redemption, is going to be the Shir Chadash that we're going to sing with Mashiach Tzidkenu. What is the difference between these two types of songs? So Chazal revealed the following thing. The difference between the Zohar and the Keva, there are many, many differences, and we were talking last week. Chazal taught in the Medrash, Maha Nekeva Hazayis Mesaberes V'yoledes V'chezeres Mesaberes V'yoledes. We see that a woman is able to expect a child to be pregnant and then to give birth, and then once again to be pregnant and to give birth. So Chazal say, Kachin Hatzaris, so it is with the Yiddish Hatzaris, with the trouble, with the suffering of the Jewish people. Kachin Hatzaris Boris Aleihem. Kach Omdu Bovel Modai Ve'edoim. Therefore the different kingdoms, our enemies, have exiled us, and afterwards it seems there was a redemption, but then there was another exile, and another redemption. V'shidu Es Yisrael. Avala Osad Lavoi Ein Oit Tzaris Vai. But in the future, it will only be good. There will no longer be any tzaras chalila. There won't be any more suffering. Shenemar b'shachichu atzaras arishoynes. It says in pasuk that we will forget all the earlier tzaras. There won't be any more tzaras. Now, what does this mean? Pregnancy and birth in Tanakh and in Chazal are two code words for galus and geula. Pregnancy and the pain that is accompanied by pregnancy and the difficulties are associated in Tanakh and in Chazal with the state of the Jewish people in Galus, who are expecting, who are waiting, and who are going through difficulties. And redemption is associated with giving birth. The period of pregnancy of Ibur is a period that Al-Pi Chazal is a time of din. It's a time of difficulty and pain. It comes, the difficulties and the pain, and the whole process of pregnancy, of course, is the result of the eating from the tree of knowledge. It's associated with man's downfall. So therefore, in Tanakh, in Chazal, the times of exile are times of anticipation, but of terrible pain and dinim and difficulties. That's galus. That's the time of pregnancy. It's a time of geula, of redemption. Ki chola gam yolda tzion es b'neha. The coming of Mashiach, the complete and final redemption, is described as ki chola gam yolda tzion es b'neha, as Tzion giving birth to her children. Tzion gives birth, Yerushalayim giving birth to her children, is a description of the end of time, of the final redemption. So Chazal is teaching us that in all past exiles and redemptions of all of the in all of Jewish history, all previous geulas, all previous redemptions, are called redemptions that have that quality of the nekeva, of the feminine, which means there's a pregnancy, and then there's a geula, and there's another disappointment, meaning another time of difficulty. Not that pregnancy is a disappointment, there's a difficult time of pain and suffering. And then there's another redemption. So we went to Bavel, and that was a pregnancy, the time of pregnancy, and then there was a redemption, and then again a period of Ibur, of difficulty and of suffering. So Chazal say that the entire history of the Jewish people is this long story of Mesaberes V'yoledes V'chezeres, like the woman who conceives, goes through the difficulties, has a child, and then there's another conception and difficulty and so on. This is called in Chazal, Mishtatim v'nega'olim v'mishtatim, that we're enslaved, we're exiled, and there's a redemption, and then there's another exile. So the redemptions were short-lived. This is called Mu'uberes. However, La'asid Lava, when Mashiach comes, that geula will be, the redemption will be a redemption she'ein acharei shibud. It's going to be a redemption where there will only be redemption with no more birth pains of pregnancy, no more of the pains of labor and pregnancy. It'll only be redemption. That'll be the total, the complete, the final redemption. There will be no longer any pain. There will be no longer any exile, no more suffering. That is the state of the Jewish people that is called Yisrael Moshe Bat Shev Hashem. When the redemption will take place through Hashem Himself, that will be Yisrael Moshe Bat Shev Hashem Chuas Olam, an eternal Yeshua, an eternal salvation. This is the side, this is the mystery. And understand, this is not a simple Indian. You already hear it's a little bit complicated. But this is the side, this is the mystery of Isha Ki Sazriya V'Yalda Zacha, of the woman, so to speak, initiating the process leading to pregnancy and so on. Isha Ki Sazriya V'Yalda Zacha. If the woman initiates that, again, I'm only saying it in a Lashon Nekiya, then V'Yalda Zacha. Then it says in Pasuk that a boy will be born. But if the man is the first to complete that stage in the process leading to conception, if the man is first, then there'll be a girl, be in the Kehila. What does this mean? So this is really teaching us something about Ruchnius in the deepest way, about spirituality, about who we are. And this is what we discussed many times in the past. Ish, the man, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Racham HaKadosh says this mamish clearly. That the Ish here, the man, the male, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Isha, Ki Sazriya, the woman here, is a Knesset Yisrael, Isha Yiras Hashem, the Jewish people, a God-fearing woman. So the meaning of Ish Mazriya Tchila, do you remember last week we discussed the concept of Isarusa de la Eila, when there's an awakening from above. That means when redemption descends upon the Jewish people despite our unworthiness, despite that we had no motivation, despite that we didn't initiate any process of tshuva, of returning to Hashem, but the Rabbeinu Shalom, like he took us out of Mitzrayim. When the Baruch Shalom took us out of Mitzrayim, it says, actually, Nigla, Leia, Melach, Malachim, Melach, Makarish, Baruch Hu, Go'olam, you all know that we were totally unworthy. And Hashem's Baruch Hu appeared and He plucked us out of Mitzrayim even. We weren't worthy at all. That's called, in Sarusa de Leil, an awakening, or that the relationship is initiated by Hashem. Without any arousal from below. Without any initiative from below. Then what happens is, you let us in the cave. Ish Mazriya Tchila, if the Rabbeinu Shalom redeems us from our unworthiness, and He initiates that process of bringing us back to Him, not through our own efforts, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, out of His love and His kindness and His mercy, as He did with Mitzrayim. So then, if that's the case, then Ish Mazriya Tchila, if Hashem is the one to begin, so to speak, the relationship, so then you're led this in the cave. Then the redemption is called the feminine redemption, which means, as we just learned a minute ago, and we learned last week, it's a weak redemption. It's a redemption that is fragile. It's a redemption that's going to be followed once again by the pain of pregnancy and waiting and expecting and hoping, and then another redemption, nachamal, suffering and pain and difficulties. That's if the relationship, or the pregnancy, so to speak, was initiated by the Ish, by the man who's a Kadosh Baruch. And so since Yisrael took place in such a way, as we learned last week, Medalag Lahar Makapsal Gros, Hashem was leaping over mountains and jumping over hills because the Jewish people were not worthy, and Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't understand what right do they have to be redeemed. And even by Yom Suf, the Medrash says, in the Yalkut Ruveni, the Medrash says, how long right there is Zara, how long right there is Zara, that the angels had a time, why the Jews any better than the Egyptians, they also worship idols. So in that miserable state of unworthiness, the Baruch Shalom, the Ish, the man, was Mazriya Tchila. And as a result of that, the redemption of Ish was followed by much suffering, and we're still going through it. It wasn't a permanent redemption, it was a weak redemption, it was a feminine redemption, where there would be again a difficulty, a period of pregnancy and dinim, and difficulties and suffering. Therefore, We've been going through this series of the four Golias, of the four exiles. All the shiras of this world, all the songs of this world have that quality. That they're songs that were not able to sing with complete confidence and strength, they have a certain weakness to that song. Shira Chadosh or Shibcha Gulam, L'Shimcha Svas Hayom, there's a certain weakness. It has a female quality, a feminine quality of Shira Chadosh, because Sof Kol Sof, we didn't really take an active role in our redemption. Rabbi Shalom took us out. We were like a damsel in distress, and Rabbi Shalom came and rescued us, and therefore the redemption was one that was Yoledas Nekeva. Redemption was not a strong one, and there would be again galus and pregnancy and suffering, and then again another redemption. However, the final redemption is going to be Mitzvah Hashem very soon. The final redemption is one of Isha Mizraz Tchilo. That means that the Jewish people are going to be redeemed because of our worthiness. It's hard to believe, because of our turning back to Hashem, because of our waking up and wanting to come back to Hashem. There's going to be this great upheaval within Klal Yisrael seeking to return. And if that's the case of Isha Mizraz Tchilo, that the Jewish people are called Hashem's wife. So the Isha Mizraz Tchilo, if the Jewish people, the Isha, will initiate that process leading to conception, to pregnancy, of the redemption of course is the birth, so then Yoledes Zachar will be a Gula Shleima. It will be a strong, permanent, stable redemption. It will have that male quality, where it won't be followed by other pregnancy. It will be the end. And then we will sing the song that is a Shir Chadosh. Not a Shir Chadosh that has the weakness, that's temporary, that's unstable, that's to be followed by more difficulties. But at the end of time, when the Jewish people, when the Isha is Mizraz Tchila, when we initiate, when we are the first ones, so to speak, to initiate that process leading to the conception of redemption. Isha Mizraz Tchila, Yoledes Zachar. And the redemption will be a male redemption, which will bring the song that's the Shir Chadosh. And this is how the Rechaim HaKadosh explains the first pasuk in Parsha. So Rechaim HaKadosh says that the Isha in the pasuk is hinting to Knesset Yisrael. Ki Sazri, if the Jewish people, Ki Sazri, is Zehu Tshuva, Be'ikvah in the Mashiach. Then if the Jewish people, even though they're living in the darkest time, the end of time, when it's almost impossible to have the slightest feeling of returning to Hashem, if the Isha, if the wife, in that darkness will make the effort to initiate that relationship, the Dun Tshuva, Me'umke Dali Babikvah to the Mashiach, from the depths, at the end of time, the Yalda Zachar Zeroletus HaMashiach, that will lead to the birth of the Zachar, of the greatest man who ever lived. The Yalda Zachar is Mashiach, Sheneshmosu Bechina Zachar, Mimadrega HaYoyser El Yoyah. That will lead to the birth of the greatest man who ever lived, the one who will rule this world. And that's Mashiach, David Malki Mashiach Sekeinu, who is the Zachar, the Madreg Hel Yoina, who is the greatest, most powerful man who ever lived. This is how the Rechaim HaKadosh says. This is what he writes in the first pasuk of Sisera. Aleph. Now Beis. There's a machlokes in Rosh Hashanah and Dafir Aleph in Rosh Hashanah. There's a difference of opinion there between Rabbi Elez and Rabbi Yeshua regarding when the future redemption will take place, which is the ideal month. It could happen any day. But the ideal month of redemption, there's a dispute in the Gemara there. So Rabbi Elez says, Benisan the Golo Avosainu, that in the month of Nisan our ancestors were redeemed. But the Tishrei Asidin is Ligar. But the future redemption will most likely, the most opportune month for the future redemption, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is Tishrei. Rabbi Yeshua disagrees. And Rabbi Yeshua taught Benisan the Golo Avosainu that our ancestors were redeemed in the month of Nisan, and Benisan Asidin Ligar. And the future redemption will be in Nisan as well. The shirish of this machlaikas, where does this come from? What does this mean with the months? What's the matter with Chashan? What's the source of this machlaikas? There's another machlaikas where Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are consistent throughout Shas and throughout the Medrash in their approach to this Indian. And any opinion that you find from these two Tanoim, you will discover that the underlying shirish is what we're talking about now, in all of their disagreements. The Gemara Sanhedrin is also machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer, Ayyimir Yisrael, Eisen, Shuv, and Igal. Rabbi Eliezer says that if the Jewish people will return to Hashem, then they will merit redemption. If we do Shuv, in other words, it's not talk that Hashem will redeem us, so it sounds, it seems, that Chalil, it's up to us. We have to initiate that process. If we do Shuv, then there will be redemption. Omer Rabbi Yeshua was upset, and Rabbi Yeshua said, So Rabbi Yeshua said, what are you talking about? The pasuk indicates that just as Hashem took us out from Mitzrayim, although we were totally unworthy, we didn't have to do tshuva, we didn't have all these great deeds to be worthy of being taken out, so too, the same way that to begin with, when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, it wasn't b'tshuva ma'asim tovim, so too the future redemption does not depend upon our initiating this process, our beginning the process. So we understand, it's very clear, that Rebbe Eliezer holds that the future redemption will require, in order for there to be a redemption, it will require the Jewish people beginning, it means the wife beginning the process, the Jewish people, the kala, the bride, the wife. And there has to be tshuva. And there has to be a hisayrus, mitzad Yisrael, an awakening that begins with the Jewish people who want redemption, who want to return to Hashem. Therefore, we understand that according to Rabbi Eliezer, whose name also means, as is pointed out in Shemesh Shmuel, whose name means Hashem will help, but you have to start, Eliezer. His name means Hashem will help. But we must begin. Therefore, he holds that the redemption is going to take place when? The future redemption when? In Tishrei. Because Tishrei is a time of what? Of tshuva, of returning. It's the time when we turn ourselves around. Means it's a time when the Jewish people are doyresh as Hashem. Hashem is not seeking us out. We must be with, but we must begin by seeking Him out. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says that what? Rabbi Eliezer holds that the future redemption will only take place when the Jewish people begin with tshuva, and Hashem then will help. Eliezer. Hashem will be oizer. So he is of the opinion that the future redemption will be in the month of tshuva, in the month of Tishrei. Because it requires the sarusa de lasata, an awakening from below. The isha, the wife, has to begin the process, the Jewish people. Rabbi Yeshua disagrees, and I know Rabbi Yeshua's name means Yeshua, which is a total salvation. It means man can't start, he doesn't know what to do. It means when the Rosh Hashanah takes care of you, his name is Yeshua. It means Yeshua. Rabbi Eliezer means Hashem helps. Rabbi Yeshua means Hashem just takes care of me. Rabbi Yeshua. So Yeshua who holds that the future redemption will not depend upon tshuva, ma'asim and tovim, but it will resemble the redemption from Egypt that took place in a way that was completely in a sarusa de la'il, an awakening from above. Hashem, the Zohar, initiated this. So he holds, and Yeshua holds, that the future redemption will also be just as it was from Hashem by Pesach. He says, Asarim has been Nisan. So too, the month of Nisan is the time of Nisan, of miracles. So Yeshua holds that the future redemption will also be in Nisan, which is that time of Metallic Lahar Makapas Alakarais, Hashem jumping over mountains and leaping over hills, meaning despite our unworthiness and without the Tshuva Masal Tayyim, so it sounds like when we first read the Gemara, the Baruch Shalom will take us out of this exile. Of course, the problem now is, are you following? Is anybody following? I hope you're following. I don't know, it's a little bit complicated, yeah? The problem and the pella is, how do you understand Rabbi Yeshua? Rabbi Eliezer? No, we understand. We just finished learning that in the future the song is going to be a masculine song, a Shir Chadash. And we just learned that our Chaim HaKadosh who teaches that the meaning of that is that the Jewish people, the Kala, the wife, will do tshuva at the end of time. And because we do tshuva, that means each of us Ras Tchila, the woman, the Jewish people, the bride, the wife, they initiate, and then we all the Zohar, we can give birth to Mashiach Tzidkenu, the final redemption. It'll be a masculine redemption, it'll be forever. A gula where there's no more suffering, pregnancy, and labor, a gula. So that dafka requires shuva. Isha tisas riya, and only then be yolda zacha. So the shaila is, what does Rabbi Yeshua mean? Rabbi Yeshua says, it will be like you left Mitzrayim, Benisim the girl, Benisim Asim the girl. the Nisan, the Mitzvah of Tshuva, Blood of Matan Torah. It will not require the Jewish people to begin, and it won't be Matan Torah. But then it will be just another, God forbid, another temporary redemption to be followed by more tzaras, another pregnancy, and more dinim and suffering, God forbid. So it should be Shuvah talking to him. Although it sounds better to all of us. It sounds great, right? To sit back and let it happen again. But we want this redemption to be complete. If you look in the Chassam Sofer, in Teres Moshe and Haftarah from Pashas Shoftim, you'll see some amazing things. Chassam Sofer says over there that the Jewish people, if we would want to be satisfied with a temporary, partial redemption, we wouldn't have so much tzaras and galus. But the Jewish people are no longer satisfied with temporary redemptions. The Jewish people want a redemption where we don't have to worry about our children being shot at. We want the redemption without the mask sitting on the Har HaBayis. So Chassam Sofer said that tzaddikim are not satisfied with partial redemption, even though it would mean that there's tzaras until that time. So what's Rabbi Yishuv talking about? Besides the fact that it says Beferish Chumash, if you look at the end of Chumash, the parashiyas Mitzvah Me'elochim, and the parashiyas Tshuva, Batzal Lochem Tzuchah Kol Advar Me'el Vachas Yom V'Shavta Ad Hashem L'Kecha. It says at the end of time, V'Shavta Ad Hashem L'Kecha, you shall return to Hashem. It means that in order that there should be the Achas Yomim, in order to bring in the Achas Yomim, the end of time, Mashiach, the Tanai, the condition is V'Shavta Ad Hashem L'Kecha, to return to the Tshuva. So what's Rabbi Yishuv talking about? That we need to know, because we're desperately relying upon Rabbi Yishuv. So we need to know this. There are descriptions in Tanakh, in all fairness to Rabbi Yishuv, there are descriptions in Tanakh that indicate that the future redemption will be as a result of an Isarusa del Eila, an awakening from above. There are indications. There are psukim. One of the most beautiful psukim also is something that we experienced on Pesach. Eya katal li Yisrael. Hashem says, I will be like the dew, like the tal for the Jewish people. Yifrach kishasham. The Jewish people will blossom like a rose. Eya katal li Yisrael. Yifrach kishasham. The Gemara Tainis explains a very involved inyan, which I don't have time. I'm not even one third done with this. I have to figure out how to do it without going into too many protein, too many details. The difference between rain and dew, aside from the fact that this makes things a lot wetter, right? But there's a difference in Ruchni is what Geshe means and what Tal means. That's why when the Jewish people, Eikatal Yisrael, so the Gemara says over there that the Jewish people made a mistake. They asked that Hashem's relationship with them, with the Jewish people, should be like Geshe. You have a Kageshem Lanu, it says in Pasuk. And Hashem says, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have asked for rain, that I should be with you like the rain. Instead, you should have said that I should be with you like a tal. And Hashem says, even though you didn't ask for the best thing, Hashem says, Eya Katal Yisrael. Even though you didn't ask that I should be like a tal, you only asked for Geshem, but still, I will be with you like a tal, like a dew. What's the difference between the tal? What's the difference between Geshem and tal? Rain and tal. So the difference is that Geshem, rain, is something that from the very beginning of Chumash comes as a result of man's efforts. His tefillahs, his crying, his begging. Rain comes in such a way. As it says in the beginning of Chumash, the Eid Yalim and Haris, the vapors that came up, the Medrash says that Eid means that Meshabim es Libam, or Mavakshim, like you see that at the beginning of Chumash, that nothing would come out from the earth until there was an Adam who would daven, who would ask for the rain. Rain is upon request. Rain requires tefillahs and bakoshes and crying and begging, so that there'll be rain. And rain, sometimes it rains, sometimes it doesn't. I heard this morning on the news they said that today there were 60 fires that broke out in Florida. And they're waiting for the report, because they predicted in some parts of Florida there'd be rain. So people's lives, people's parnasa. Sometimes it rains, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes the Gemara says sometimes rain is wonderful, and then sometimes it can cause chalila, terrible floods. So then you go a little bit to a different part of the country, so there are people that are living Nebuch, who are standing and holding their breath to see how the Mississippi is going to behave. And lives can be ruined by what? Too little rain or too much rain. It's not always a problem. Because human beings are the ones who initiate the process that leads to rain, and human beings, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. But Hashem says, Ayeka tal li Yisrael. I will be like the dew for the Jewish people. And the Gemara says, tal is the most unbelievable brach. You don't see it when it falls. But the Gemara says, tal is lema asaloyim. It never stops. It never stops. Next Yisrael, your mamish, if you go to sleep outside next Yisrael, you wake up, your mamish covered with tal. Here in New York, I think it just probably can't make it through the rest of the stuff over there. But next Yisrael, the tal, feel it. You could feel it. So the Baruch Shem says, Tal, I'm going to be with you like Tal. Tal is something that you don't see when it happens, you don't hear about it, you don't know about it, they don't report it anywhere, but it gives life to the world. It enlivens all of reality. Eyeka Tal Li Yisrael. So when the Pasuk says, Eyeka Tal Li Yisrael, it means, and this Pasuk according to Chazal is talking about the final redemption b'frat. So therefore it means, when Hashem promises, I will be like the Tal, it means that just like the Tal does not require any tefillos, any bakashas. The Yishuvah said, Tal means that part of me that's always davening, that part of me that Hashem awakens within me, because I'm a Jew. Not because I try, just because it's there. That means, when Hashem said, Eyeka Tal Li Yisrael, it indicates that Rabbi Yeshua is right. That the redemption will take place in such a way where just like a tal is something we don't know, we don't ask for, we don't expect, and it just happens. Eyeka Tal Li Yisrael means that the Rebbeinu Shem is going to send us a Yeshua salvation in such a way where we never thought, we never expected, we didn't initiate it, we didn't daven for it. Eyeka Tal Li Yisrael, the Rebbeinu Shem is going to send us a redemption which follows the way of Rabbi Yeshua. But it seems to contradict all that we've been talking about, because it's missing that quality of of the woman, of the Jewish people, initiating the process with Shuvah Masim Tov. Okay, so how do we understand all of this? There's a very beautiful pasuk in Shir Shirim. As if there's a pasuk that's not beautiful in Shir Shirim, or in the entire Tanakh, for that matter, you have to understand the pasukim. One of the descriptions of the Jewish people, Yanasi b'chagvei hasela b'seisra hamadrega. My dove, meaning my precious one, Chazalim is talking about the Jewish people. Yanasi b'chagvei hasela b'seisra hamadrega. That means that my precious one is stuck in the cracks, is like hiding in the cracks of the rocks, in the rocks, in the boulders. B'seisra hamadrega, hidden between the steps. The Jewish people are hidden, are hiding, are stuck and hiding. So Hashem says, Harinius Marech. Harinius Marech. The Baruch Shalom says, show me. Harinius Marech. Hashem says, show me how you look. Harinius Marech. And Hashmini es Kolech. And let me hear your voice. Ki Kolech Orev or Marech Nada. Because your voice is sweet and your appearance is pleasant. So this is a description, if you look there in Rashi, if you look in the Mefarshim, this is a description of the Jewish people at the end of time. In Golos, these last moments, that the Jewish people are caught in this stone, and the Baruch Shalom says, Harini es Marayich, Hashmini es Kailach, let me see how beautiful you are, let me hear your voice. Rabbi Yossi HaGlili Pasa HaKrab HaMalchias, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili taught, in the Medrash over there in Shir HaShirim, that this pasuk is talking about the state of the Jewish people in exile. The Seisra HaMadrega, the Sisra Shal Malchi, is the Jewish people hiding and suffering and caught in the difficulties of the Malchias of the exile. The Jewish people are compared to a dove in two ways. Yonah, see my dove. The Jewish people are compared to a Yonah in two ways. In a positive way, and then it seems in a negative way. In a positive way, the word Yonah, that bird, the dove, indicates gazing, looking at something with great love, with great affection and warmth. As it says in the Pasuk, Einayach Yonim, you have the eyes that are like a dove, which we spoke about last week, that once the dove, a few weeks ago, once the dove sets his eyes on his mate, on the other one, so then they can never take their eyes off each other. There's such love, this complete and total love. Einayach Yonim means that the Zachar and the Keva have no greater of that creature, of the dove. They have no greater pleasure, there's no greater oinig that they have than looking at each other, than seeing each other. Einayach Yonim. So it means to gaze upon, and it means to be completely, completely faithful and loyal. There is no creature that's as loyal and faithful. Once the Zohar and the Kaiva see each other, their eyes never wander. Never. So it says in the Sron that their eyes are red because of the Shafarish Fe'esh. There's a fire of love in their eyes. It's all interesting discussion in the Sron. That's one meaning of the word Yonah. Faithfulness, looking and gazing. Two who love each other, gazing at each other. The other definition of Yonah says in Yirmiyah is Yonah Paisev Ein Lev. That means that the Yonah is deceptive and doesn't have a heart. Yonah Paisev, the word Pitui, is deceptive, deceives, and doesn't have a heart. Tricks. And here, the word Ona'a resembles the word Yonah. Those of you who are familiar with Losonu and the Isra of Ona'a and the laws of Ona'a and Shulchan Aruch know that Ona'a means to deceive, to trick, to mislead. Ona'a means to mislead. And it comes from this meaning of Yonah, that the word Yonah can mean deception and trickery. The word Yonah can mean that. And that's the opposite of Einayach Yonim. Whereas Einayach Yonim, to have the eyes of the dove, means loyalty and faithfulness. It means to look at something with loyalty in a loyal and faithful way. It means to know something as being absolutely true. Like it says, Ki Einechem Haroos, by Yosef HaTzadik, your eyes can see. Seeing something means with certainty. The Yonah, the male and female, look at each other with absolute certainty. There is nobody else in the world. That's what it means, Einayach Yonim. With the certainty of the Yonah. It means definitive, faithful loyalty. That's Einayach Yonim. And that seems to be the opposite of what we're talking about now, that Yonah is connected to the word Ona'a, which means to trick and to deceive. Which always means looking away. Right? Looking away, tricking and deceiving, dishonesty, unfaithfulness. People who are unfaithful can't look at each other. So the Holy Tzaddik, the Tzaddik of Shmaya Noach, the grandson of the Semach Tzaddik, says the following. And this is a half-a-dick thing. He says they're both true. They're both true. However, the description is referring to different stages in the life of a Jew. Einayach Yonim, to have the eyes of a dove that are loving and gazing with love and faithfulness, that's totally about Mitzad in the Shom of a Jew. That's the Jew in terms of the essence of who he or she is. That's the Jew Be'emes and Pnimius. Mitzad in the Shom. In other words, the neshama can't take its eyes off the Ribbono Shel Olam. Therefore, Chazal say, even though sometimes we don't see things in this world, but your mazel, your neshama sees things. Your neshama knows. Your neshama can't take its eyes off the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's mitzad the etzem neshama. And in that place of the essence of who we are, there's no deception. There's only faithfulness. Even Jews who are non-religious their whole lives, willingly and lovingly give their lives up, I'll kill you, Hashem. Because at that moment, the Einayach Yonim, the Pnimius, the Shurish and the Shom is awakened, and then the gazing will take place in the fullest sense with all the faithfulness of the Yonah. And the job and the purpose of the Tzaddikim in this world is to take the Jewish people in this crazy place of the goof of physical life, and the Tzaddik who is completely connected, he looks at Hashem with those eyes, he hasn't forgotten how to look at Hashem, he looks at Hashem in this world the same way that our Neshama sees Hashem in that world. The job of the Tzaddik is to try to bring us to see Hashem, l'sparkle v'yikar dan malukit, to gaze at Hashem, to teach us the Torah in such a way that the ha'erim neinu b'sarasech, that our eyes should be illuminated with the Torah, that our eyes should be filled with Hashem's presence, that it should be clear to us. That's what we need to see. We should see godliness. It should be clear and known to us. And the Tzaddik who has the eyes of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and the eyes of the Tzaddik, Eine Hashem al Yireyev, the Tzaddik sees that even in this world, he hasn't forgotten, he has the Einayach Yonim, the faithful eyes of the Neshama. And he teaches us to be faithful. Gal Einai, which is a sign of Lav Ba'emer, Lav Gimel, Gal, which means to reveal, open my eyes. Gal Einai, Va'abit, and the flowers from Eternesecha, that I may see the deep wonders of your Torah. Gal Einai, that I should see. I should have the eyes of a dove even in this world. That I shouldn't be able to take my eyes off of holiness. That my eyes should see the same way that they see from the shores of the Neshama. Therefore, when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai spoke, when he taught in the Zohar Kodesh, he says, Tochasi, come and see. Because that's the Torah of redemption. It's the Torah of the Neshama, it's the Torah of clarity and certainty of a Nayach Yod with the dove's eyes. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who had those eyes, in the Zohar he says, Tochazi, come and see. And then he teaches a lesson. As opposed to the lesson of the Bali, which is what? Toshma, come and hear, which is uncertain and unclear. Because the Talmud Bavli is exactly that. The Talmud Bavli means, Golus, it means exile. It means Rachashak and Rishivan, that some places into the dark world of this physical life, which means the world of bubble. Bubble means confusion, bilbul. It means the physical life of the Jewish people and Golus. And in that physical world that we're in here, Golus Yibachad Be'azela, my precious dove. That Neshama that sees me so clearly in the world from that perspective of the Neshama. But in the Malchus, when that dove is stuck in Golus, when my precious one, my dove, when my Yonah is stuck in the Chag Be'azela of Golus, in the difficult racks and suffering of Golus, then Yonah does no longer mean the faithfulness of the Yonah, the Neshama means the loss of Onah, which means to deceive and the trick. Because the Tzaddik explains that this whole world is deceiving the Neshama. The whole world deceives the Neshama. All the physical life tells the Neshama, tells the Jewish person, this will make you happy. Not to learn Torah. That's not what's going to make you fulfilled. What's going to make you fulfilled is to do this and to do that and to read this and to read that. The whole life on this planet is one of deception. It's where the body is misleading and tricking and deceiving, and here Yonah's Miloshna Inah. But that means how this physical world, where the Neshama Melech is being misled, where the Jewish person is being deceived, is being tricked. So that he thinks that this world, which is really Ayin, which is nothing, it's only the Dvar Hashem. But the Jew in this world is deceived, and he thinks that this is Yesh, this is something. And when he talked about Ruchnias, he says, I don't know what that is. So when you have to think that a Jew, when he's finishing Yotun, he gives a crash and he says, well, I guess we have to get back to the real world. The real world means what happened to him. The real world means Parnassus. The real world means the daily news of the Wall Street Journal is the real world. That's the deception, that's the trick, that's the lie that the goof is drawn into in this world. That's the Aynah. Yaynah Sibachad Mehassel of the Seisra Hamadrega. But the Neshama knows that this is a sheker. And in the end, the Jewish person can't give in to that love. The Neshama knows. And the Neshama knows that this world is really Ayin, nothing. And Torah is Yesh. And Davening is Yesh. And a mitzvah is Yesh. It's something. This is the world of the Yosef Hura Mitzrayim. The Neshama, Yosef is lowered into the misery of the Seisah HaMadreg of Egypt. And it says that if she grabbed him by his clothing, but it's the same of Abigdah. And that means that the wife of Potiphar, who's physical, who means the physical world, who means the Yetzirah, but this Pesach of Avigdor, she takes hold of the Neshama and draws the Neshama to the filth, into the stupidity, into the lie of this world. Avigdor means the Lashon of Bedida, which means to betray Hashem. That's the goof. The goof is the beggar. The goof is the garment. The body is the garment. And the body is the one that betrays. Beggar is bogeyed. That's the physical life of the person in this world. Therefore the Baruch Shalom says, as I mentioned last week, Kala Kamayshihi, as it says in the Gemara, that the Baruch Shalom loves the Kala Kamayshihi. I feel a silver, even if the Kala is blind, even if we don't see the truth, Hashem still loves us. Even though we're so strict, we're so misled, we're so deceived, we fall for it. We fall for the lie of this world. We fall for a person is going through a difficult time. A person is ready and is hoping Mr. Shem to get married. And the Ikeshtadlis, the person doesn't think that the Ikeshtadlis is not ready to Hashem, but the Ikeshtadlis is in this world. The whole Aynah of this world. The treachery, the deception of this world. That's the Aynah of Chag V'Asel. In this world, the Kala is assuming that, but she's blind. You see, when we had the Beis HaMikdash, and Mishra, and we all have the Beis HaMikdash, then we had the mitzvah of Re'iyah, of going to see Kiryachal Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, and of being seen. And in those days, and it will be again, we had Nevuah prophecy, and the people were called Chayz, and they were able to see, they had visions. That means to have absolute clarity. They saw the way that the Neshama sees. And the Sanhedrin, we had the Sanhedrin sitting in the Samaritish and the Shkos HaGozes. And the Sanhedrin are called the Einei HaEid, the eyes of the Jewish people that can see. That's the members of the Sanhedrin. Because when the Beis HaMikdash is here and Mashiach is here, we have a Beis HaMikdash, then the Jewish people are living that way of what? Of Einayich Yonim. To have the clarity of the dove that looks, that Chasna Kalvin, the Zachan Kevin see only each other. So there's these visions of the Nevi'im, and the eyes of the Sanhedrin, and the Mitzvah of Ru'iyah. And the Hashgacha, Hashem's eyes are attached to the Jewish people. And there are miracles. And Hashem's clearly known in that state. He shows himself to us. We see him and he sees us. We're like Yonim that are staring each other. The Chasna Kalvin, the husband and wife. The eyes of Hashem are always felt upon the land of Israel. And now we're living in Golis, and Golis is just the opposite. Golis is what? Deception. So we think about the Rosh Hashanah doesn't look at Israel at all. The Rosh Hashanah doesn't care what happens in Israel. The eyes of Hashem are not there, Chalilah. I said, say the Lord, we already know the whole description of Golis is we can't see. Ein Oy Novi. There no longer is a Novi who can see. Everything is with speculation and could be, maybe not. It's all a great Aynor, the deception of Yonasi B'chad V'Hasalu. The Jewish people are stuck in that place of suffering in Golis and who don't see anymore that clear way. And therefore are easily misled and deceived by the promises of the Guf, the liar. So what's the answer? What should the Yonah do? What can the Yonah do with Chag V'Hasalu? What can we do in this world? Charin is Marayach, and Hashmi is Kailach. Show me how beautiful you are, Hashem says, and let me hear your voice. Hashmi is Marayach, Hashmi is Kailach. Which the Sfar HaKadosh tell us, Zara Kadosh and Hari, means the Rosh Hashanah says, try to do tshuva. At this. Begin. Heart, to initiate a process within the darkness. Harinis Marayach. Marayach means, as the Tzaddik here explains, sometimes we know from Chazal, and we know nowadays there's a thing called reflexology, you know, I think that's what it's called, that they found out that a person can have all kinds of tzaras, and something you just with the toes, you move them around a little bit, and you press a little bit on the foot, and it brings them a yeshu. It's interesting. So the Tzaddik explained, you know, sometimes, you know, from the Gemara, that if you have a cave, right, you have a headache, but if your mark is down, if you take out blood from the foot, his head could get better. So what does that mean in Avodas Hashem? It means that this generation, which is the end, which is the heel, which is Ekev, which is the Mashiach of the end, with even the slightest, with even being in the slightest way touched, with the slightest desire to return, we have the ability to bring a Yeshua to the generation of the Ari HaKadosh, of the Baal Shem, of the Vomogayin. We can bring a redemption to the generation of Rabbi Akiva, of Abaye and Rava, of the Rambam, of the Ramban. It's a pillar. They were the heads of the Jewish people, and we're the heel. But sometimes there's an inyan of no yisrael with chalos and chalos and b'sayfin. It's possible that by the heel, by something being awakened in that place that hardly feels anything, that the head can be cured. So the Tzaddik explains the meaning of that is that the Rebbe Shalom looks and he sees that in this generation we're so far, we're from the lowest, the darkest nishamas, and the onah has never been stronger. You see, by our grandparents or great grandparents. So when I asked my father, what was it like in Europe? And he described to me how the learning and the davening. So I said to my father, I can't imagine, it's unbelievable. My father always says to me, the truth is we have nothing else to do. He says he's not sure when he thinks back, like why did he do it? And he said that he began to realize that what was the Eitzah? So my father said that, what was he going to do? It could be in his father's business, it was a Shlechtem Eitzah. So like this, maybe it'll be a Rav, he had a good head, it'll be a dying something. But my friends, he never quite knew what attracted our ancestors. Oh, there were the winds of the Enlightenment and the walls of the ghetto were opening, and look how many Nebuch left. Right? However, in these days, when the deceptive powers of this world are so unbelievable, that what our children are facing is the goof is screaming. Every single advertisement, everywhere they go, everywhere we go, we're being deceived, we're being tricked. The goof is telling the neshama, come on, this is crazy. In this state of unbelievable aynah, of unbelievable galus, if the Jewish people show some sign of wanting to return, it doesn't have to be that type that was expected in the earlier days, but something of a return, if you're in this state of aynah, if you have a Jew who doesn't fall for it, if you have the Jew in this miserable, crazy world of Ona, of deception, who is able to say, I'm keeping my eyes focused on the Rishon, Einayach Yom. On his level, he tries to stay focused. He tries to steer at the chasm. He tries to remember. So then we have such a situation where the foot can heal the head. Which is why when Rabbi Dodaya turned his entire life around, in one moment he did that amazing shura from being the lowest person in the world to returning to Hashem, he cries, and the Gemara says he put his head by his feet. You remember? He held his feet by his head. He put his head between his knees, and he cried until he died. And it's not just a symbolic act. It means that at the end of time, the feet will redeem the head. It means that there is such a tshuva for a person who is lost until now in the ana of this world, and he connects his head with his feet. That means in the lowest madrega, he's able to come to the highest madrega. And the lowest madrega, the Yonasi Bechagi Asela, Harinis Marayach Hashminis Kailech, that the Jewish people have the ability. Harinis Marayach means go to shul. Show me something. Harinis Marayach Hashminis Kailech. Let me hear your voice down a little bit. Kikalech Orei, because when a Jew davens, it's so unbelievably sweet. The sweetest sound Hashem is when from the world of Ayah, a Jew is still davening at the end of time. That's the sweetest sound. There's no sweeter sound than a Jew davening now. That's why the whole Seder of Tfilas, the whole order of davening only took place after the Churban. And the main dealing of Torah Shemal Peh, the oral law, took place when? After the Churban. When the Jewish people were in a state of Yonashi B'chad Be'Selah, in a state of Onor, of deception, we began to daven. And the Rabbi Shalom established this through the Chacham as being the way the Jews lived till the end of time, the davening. And the learning became the learning of Talmud Bavli. Talmud Bavli. We go with the Bavli, not the Yerushalmi. Toshma, that the Jews are still trying to hear the Rebbe Shalom, even though it's so unclear, they're still trying to hear the Rebbe Shalom's voice in Golis, in Bavel, with confusion. So the Rebbe Shalom says, Ah, Harinis Marayah, Hashminis Kailash, a Jew goes dressed as a Jew. The whole world says, you have to be crazy, put on this clothing. You won't be Matzliach at work if you dress like this. If you look like a Jew, you won't be Matzliach. If you dress modestly, if you act a certain way. If you're at work and there are people that are making a crass joke and it's like so this, and you turn away, then you're not going to be evaluated properly. And despite all of that, oh no, a Jew says, I'm going to look like a Jew, I'm going to dress like a Jew, I'm going to talk and act like a Jew. The verse of Harinis Marayah. And there, you go inside, when everybody's making a stupid crack, and you're able to say, Kabbalah to Hilbert, to learn a Mishnah, the verse of Zayah, Hashminis Kailah, Kikailah Ari Vamarach Lab. So the Talmud Bavli is davki in a state of Ayah, in a state of deception, that we didn't give in to what seemed to be the truth. And the tefillos of the Jewish people davki after the Churban. But the Tani says that in the midbar, the Jewish people began to be medabrim. In the desolation of Golus, in the midbar, in the desert, we began ledaber, to speak. We called out to Rabbi Shalom from the midbar. Mimela, we now understand that we can finish now, perhaps in 2 minutes. So there's Geshem, there's rain, and there's Tal, and there's Dew. And the Geshem, it means, Geshem comes with a Sarus de Lasata. It means an awakening and arousal from below, which is a Chashiva thing. It's a Chashiva thing because it means, Isha Mazras Tchila, Yilat Azach. That's how you give birth to the redemption, and the redemption that will be forever. And the Isha Mazras Tchila. So what is the Tal? What's Rabbi Yeshua talking about, even if we're not worthy? And what is the Tal that the Bereshit says, I'm going to send you redemption, it'll be like Tal, even though you didn't really start anything? The Tal is sent as a gift from Hashem no matter what, like when we left Mitzrayim. What does that mean? So really, without learning things that we're not ready to learn, it's hard to explain. So I'll say it. And I hope that it's understood. The MS is, but Rabbi Yeshua there in the Gemara really, and this is the way the Achronim explain. The truth is that Rabbi Yeshua agrees that we have to do tshuva. What, when Rabbi Mashiach, like slobs, we have to do tshuva. The Gemara says in the conclusion that if we don't do tshuva, then the Bereshit will send a king, and the king will make decrees that are more difficult than Haman's. You remember the Gemara. And Saifun, in the end, we'll do tshuva. The meaning of it is as follows. We're not redeemed without tshuva. And Rabbi Yeshua, we have to do tshuva. The difference between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua is that Rabbi Eliezer, whereas Rabbi Eliezer says that the teshuva is completely up, has to be a complete and total awakening from above, and has to be completely isha mazras from the woman, from the Jewish people. So Yeshua's name means salvation, understands. And that's why we're depending upon this. That Rabbi Yeshua understood and he understands. That even though it looks like we're starting to do teshuva, it's true we have to do teshuva, but really the Baruch Shem was the one that sent the Talmud, the guy that's interested in the first place. It's a trick. But since we were good to Hashem, when we were being tricked, we stayed loyal, so the Baruch Shem does a little tiger for us. In other words, you know that there's been a disagreement going on for a long time. Hashem says, Shuvu elai, v'shuvu eleichem. Return to me, and I'll return to you. And what do the Jewish people say? We can't do that. You start. Hashiveinu Hashem elecha v'nashuvu, right? Right? So Jewish people, so this is the same machlokas, isn't it? It's the same disagreement. Geshem, tal, above, below. It's the same machlokas, same disagreement. So Rav Nosson Breslov has said. So the Baruch Shem said, Shuvu elai, v'shuvu eleichem. And the Jewish people say, no, you can't do it. Hashiveinu Hashem elecha v'nashuvu. Hashem, you help us. Rav Nosson Breslov has said that when the Baruch Shem says, Shuvu elai, that's what he got us thinking. You hear this? As the Baruch Shalom says, come back to me. And we say, we can't. You begin. So the Baruch Shalom goes to the Malachim, I just did. I just did. Because those words, Shuvu Elai, is what breaks our hearts. That's what we're hearing. That's the Tao. That's what never lets us forget that we're Jews, that we can't go to sleep without being Jews. That won't let us give up and give in with all the honor. That's the Tao. Yeah, it will be when the Jewish people don't shuvah. And it will be a permanent redemption. And it will be a masculine redemption. But be'emes, the Baruch Shalom is still winking at the Malachim, right? And all we have to do is hirinius marayich and hashminius kerleich. You know, there's a... In the school, there's one of the such wonderful tzaddikim in the school. So there's one of the chaverim there who's a dentist, and he was mostly practicing in Long Island, and now he has a practice in Borough Park. So you know, people make all kinds of cracks. Oh, what are you dealing there with this and dealing with that? And you have to put up with all the mishigas and all the finins, you know, all kinds of things you have to deal with. And this chaver said like this. He said, look, he said it's not true. He says occasionally, you know, there's some funny thing, but. But 99% of the time, he says that he's so inspired, he's so uplifted, and he said the following. He said, he says that a Chassid Baruch Hu comes in a week before Pesach, and he was in terrible, terrible agonizing pain in his mouth. Who knows what was in that mouth? Right? This guy's, you know, how many, all those years of Kishka and Kugel and everything, I guess, it took a toll, and the Nash and the candy, you know. So this kid walks in, he says this sweet looking little bacha, Chassidisha bacha walks in, and, you know, and there's a nurse, whatever, they will leave, you know, and he comes in there. And he's in such pain, it's terrible. So the Chara said from the shul that he said, look, so the dentist told the bacha that I'm gonna try to help you. It's going to hurt quite a bit, but you know, it'll be okay. So the bacha started to cry, and he didn't even touch him yet. So the doctor asked him, what's the matter? What happened? So he said, listen to what he said. He said, I can't let you do it unless you promise me that I'll be able to eat the masses on Pesach. I'm not doing it unless you promise me that I can eat masses. That it's not going to be too hard for me to eat masses. Or else I'm not doing it. And he was in terrible pain. This little kid. I have to eat the masses on Pesach. So he told this over to the guy. So he said, no. Do you hear this in Merrick, Long Island, such a ma'aseh? But it means a Jew. What's a Jew? A little bocha? Hashmini is kolech. Harini is marai. Hashmini is kolech. Kolech. Arev. Could you imagine how sweet that was when the Baruch Shem, what nachas he had? When that kid said, I'm not doing anything until you promise me. And he said, so his answer was, you'll be okay. You know, you might not be able to do it in 2 minutes. You'll take the shear of time, but you'll be okay. So he said a few times he promised me, and then he told me, this doctor told me, that those weeks before Pesach, that's when it was just starting, he says that almost every single one that came in had the same dagger, the same worry. What's going to be with the matzahs? What's going to be the matzahs? You can't have good rocks, you can't put anyone in. What are you going to do? You can't soften it up. What am I going to do about the matzahs? Well, the Rosh should hear, and should see, that there's still some of us who are not being fooled. We're trying not to be fooled. We're trying not to be tricked. And in that schus, so it shouldn't be anymore a shira, a song that has a sad ending. It should be a shir chadash, agul haseinu, v'abdus nafsheinu, the complete and total redemption that will come. Mitzvah, v'yis mashiach sekeinu, agul hashlemu v'amitis mehem yemenu amen v'amen. So I said, don't forget, the next week we're starting this.